If you have not been listening in the last several weeks, you missed the first part of our message on the title of being concerning the women, ladies first, so says the etiquette book. And our basic text has been taken from the book of Ephesians and the 5th chapter, verses 22 through 25, which I feel like is one of the best passages in the Bible concerning how to have the ideal marriage. And in that, we found that there are two basic principles, two basic rules, which undergird a happy marriage. Number one, it says, wives, be subject to your husband. And number two, husbands, treat your wives as you would your own self. These two basic needs to undergird our marriage actually really do nothing but just point out the basic needs of the man who becomes a husband and the basic needs of a woman that becomes a wife. In marriage, it's designed to supply needs. It's not just something we want to do. It's just not something that our human nature has a craving for to be married. But marriage is designed to fulfill a purpose by God to supply basic needs that a man and a woman have when they grow up and mature. And so marriage is that bound in which God says there are certain needs that the husband and the wife can have met only in marriage. And sad to say, I do believe today that a lot of marriages do not satisfy the two basic needs that a man and a woman has. And that's much of the problem that we see taking place today, which causes almost for everyone that says, I do, another is saying, I quit. Now, most of you, especially this morning, if you happen to be a man, are familiar in childhood days when the boys in the neighborhood would get together for a softball or a baseball game. Immediately someone, it would shout, I get to be the pitcher. You would either play in the street or you'd play on some vacant lot if there happened to be one nearby. When I was a boy, it was the street. That's all we had to play in. And so one would say, I get to be a pitcher. Another would say, I get to be the batter. Everybody wanted to be the batter. Then one would say, I get to be first baseman. Another, I get to be catcher. It seemed nobody wanted to be the fielder because they had to chase everybody else's balls. So each would say, I get to be this. Now, I think a lot of young couples, as they enter into marriage, they see it as sort of a game, like baseball. They get to choose up sides. And so the boy quickly shouts, I get to be the boss. And then the girl says, well, there's nothing left that's good to pick. In other words, it's sort of the boy saying, I get to be the pitcher and the catcher and the batter, and you get to be the chaser and the runner, and you get to play the field. You get to do all the things that I don't want to do, because I tell you, I hit the ball and I tell you, go get the ball for me. And so the girl says, all the good positions are taken when the boy says, I get to be the boss. So there you have a real conflict at the very beginning. Because when people get married, they assume, well, there is in marriage a boss. Now, the question is, who's going to get that role? And so the boy immediately says, I get to be the boss. I'm going to play boss. And the woman may say, oh, no, I'm going to play boss. Then you see you have a problem. You have a conflict. Now, I want to say this concerning marriage, that God does not design marriage to place hardship on anyone. A woman says, well, if the man gets to be the boss, well, then that puts hardship on me. And I don't like that arrangement. God never arranged marriage to be a harm to anyone. In other words, God did not design marriage to make one of the partners miserable. Remember, it was designed to fulfill a need in the woman and the man's life. And no one needs to be made miserable. So the idea of a man being the head of the woman was not to make her miserable. If that's the idea, then you don't understand God's plan in saying this was to be her role. I might say that he said this before there was ever any sin in the garden. This was God's plan for a happy marriage, even before sin ever entered the world. Why? Because woman was created with a basic need, and man was created with a basic need. And marriage was not designed to hurt or to harm or to make anyone miserable in the marriage relationship. Remember what God said? His design was to make the man and the woman one. One flesh. That means that they were to be harmonious. They were to be compatible. They were to be profitable. They were to be one in unity, not at each other's throat, not arguing over who was going to get the right to do what, but they were to be a complete or a profitable or a harmonious unit. They were to complement each other, not be a deterrent or a detriment to each other. Now again, go back to this statement. The man says, I get to be boss. I don't know who told him that, but that's not what the Bible says. That may have been what his daddy's passed down to him, but that really is not a correct understanding of the role man has as head. God says not man gets to be the boss, but man gets to be the leader. And I believe there's a big difference between being a boss and being a leader. Man cries, I get to domineer. But God says, oh no, man gets to engineer. I look up the word engineer in the dictionary and it really means to manage. Man does not domineer, dictate, but he engineers. He manages the home. He manages the wife. For what purpose? For his benefit? Oh no. For her benefit. That's the whole purpose of marriage. Man is going to give his wife some benefit. What's that? As a manager. And she is going to give him some benefit. Now God says the part the woman is to play, the benefit she is to bring to the man, which I say man desperately needs, number one, she is going to benefit him by being his personal private cheerleader. Secondly, she's going to be his personal private advisor. Thirdly, she's going to be his personal private admirer. Now, man needs these three things. And so submission becomes the key ingredient for man benefiting the woman and the woman benefiting the man. The secret to a happy marriage is just simply submission. Man submitting to his call to be a leader. And the woman submitting to her call to be an advisor and a cheerleader and an admirer of the man. You see, each person in the marriage relationship is called to serve the other. Is called to look out for the other. Is called to be concerned about the welfare and the happiness of the other. Now that's the grand design that God has in marriage. Let's try to understand this role that the woman has and the man has in a little bit more detail. Now keep in mind, this idea of man being the leader was not Adam's idea, it was God's idea. Adam was not power hungry. God just simply said man would be the leader. Why? Because I believe in making Eve, he made her in need of a leader. And in making man, God made him in need of an advisor. Now it's important you understand this. Women need leaders over them. And men need advisors and admirers and encouragers for them. Thus you have an inner drive, an inner compulsion, an inner need found in both the man and the woman. Now, I said this before and I want to say it again, because I believe it's the foundation of a ruined marriage. It's the world's concept, the world's reasoning, that the only way that I can be happy is that if I always get my way. If that is your concept, then that will destroy your chances of really a beautiful marriage. It may sound good, it may sound right, but it's all wrong according to God, the way God made the man and the woman in marriage relationship. Now, I believe God, in making the woman, made her better adapted to be governed. Now, I know a lot of women may say, that's not true. I believe a woman is more likely to accept the idea that she is to be led than the man is. I believe the man, deep down, feels he is born to be a leader. And the woman, I believe, deep down feels a need to be led, to be governed. I believe that's her psychological makeup. I believe if you reverse these roles, you have something like a duck out of water. A woman is more relieved if she can be the advisor rather than the decision maker. A man may be the head, the Bible says that, but as the head, man needs advice. He's not a wise head. Now, he's the leader, but that does not necessarily mean he's a wise leader. That does not necessarily mean he doesn't need someone to give him good direction that he might lead. In other words, man needs outside help to make decisions. He may be a manager, but I'll say this, man is afraid, and talking about the husband now, he is afraid of making serious blunders. One of the most fearsome things that a man has is to have to make a decision. But even worse than that, in making that decision, his concern is that he will blunder, and then everyone will criticize him, others will look down upon him, and some will even call him stupid. And here's where the wife becomes a key factor. If she wants to be the leader, she'll torment him. She'll even say he is incompetent. She'll even try to usurp his authority and put him down. Then she will ruin her husband, and she will also ruin her marriage. Now, what she needs to do is to realize that her husband needs advice. And so here becomes the key role that she can play for him. She's not asked to buckle under. She is asked to cooperate with him. She is not asked to step aside, but she is asked to be a part of a team. Now, the word submit to the husband just simply means be friendly to him. Be courteous to him. Don't disturb him. Don't upset him. But help him. By this, I simply mean the woman needs to give the man her judgment. And he needs to be willing to listen to her. A man should realize that he is not fully competent to lead and that he needs another opinion. And the wife should be the one that he looks to. Now, this should be voluntary on the man's part, and it should be voluntary on the woman's part. In other words, she should voluntarily let him be the leader, and he should voluntarily seek her advice and her guidance. Not do things without consulting her. Not do things behind her back. And the wife who says, well, you're the boss, you do as you please, is not doing right by her husband. And if she reaps bad consequences, she should blame herself as well as her husband. That's not being submissive. That's being foolish. The wife is not in her submission told to be silent, but to be very vocal. In other words, the woman is to sit down with her husband, hear what he has to say. What is his plan? What is he going to do as the leader? What is his thinking? And then he should consult her. Now tell me your side. She should present her case. She should speak her mind. She should offer her opinions. She should express her fears. And the man should take all this into consideration and then take all of that to the Lord in prayer. The man is to be a leader. And one thing he must do is to lead in such a fashion that his wife is taken into consideration. And her judgment and her experience is going to help him be a leader. Not only that, he will be a wiser leader. He'll be a leader that will be more accepted by his wife. Now, if there is disagreement between the husband and the wife as to what decision needs to be made, I believe the wife should allow the husband to make the decision, but only after all the facts have been clearly laid out on the table. To me, the woman is in the best position of all. I personally prefer not to be the leader, though I have to be. You see, she does not have to bear the responsibility of the decision that's going to be made. If the husband gets the last word, then he's the one that's going to be held responsible by the family and by the neighbors and by the friends and by all other person. He's the one that's finally going to be held responsible. All the burden is going to fall on him. And getting the last word, he also, in a real sense, gets all the blame. No one likes to take blame when there is a mistake made. She gets her way when his advice is taken, without having to bear any of the fear that she might be wrong. If he accepts her advice and does as she advised him to do, and it was a mistake, he's still the one that has to bear the responsibility and to bear the blame. If he is wrong and you are right, and he goes against your decision, don't say, "Well, I told you so." Instead, you just simply tell him, "Well, you did what you thought was best. And we'll take it in stride, and we'll work this thing out together. And maybe next time, you'll be able to make a better decision." Don't blame him, but work with him. And I guarantee you, the next time something comes up like that, he won't be so quick to go against what you advise him to do. He'd be more willing to hear what you have to say. But also remember, if he takes your advice and your advice was wrong, he has to bear the pain. He has to make the decision, and he's going to have to live with it in his own mental makeup, knowing I made a mistake. There is risk taken in being a leader. That risk is you're going to be wrong. Sometimes you'll make a bad decision. That hurts a man. That takes something out of a man. It makes a man feel a failure because he feels he was born to lead. When he leads wrong, it hurts him. So the woman must come along as the cheerleader and encourage him. "So you made a mistake. We'll try again." But the man needs to know he has someone standing behind him and with him if he's going to lead when he makes a bad decision. To me, the wife is in the delightful spot. She's a decision molder, but who has absolutely no responsibility whatsoever. Now, some women say, "I don't like the idea of playing second fiddle." But let me say this, there's no harmony if you don't have a second fiddle. Daddy sang bass, mama sang tenor. And the bass has to bear the responsibility. Now, I think a lot of men have seen how good the women have it. And they say, "I think I just like for the woman to make the decisions. Let her take the responsibility." And so the man chooses to become a weakling He will not exercise any leadership. He refuses to take responsibility. He refuses to make decisions. I believe a wife should never accept from the husband the role of the leader. You destroy him psychologically, and you're asking for trouble mentally that you're not going to be able to handle. The woman has the better of the two roles, and if a man wants to cop out, I wouldn't let the man do it. Because you'll never have a happy marriage if the man who was designed to be the leader is not going to be the leader. And only as a last resort, if the man just absolutely will not be a leader, should the woman try to exercise that role. And I believe that's a disadvantage to any marriage. I also believe this, that there's another advantage the woman has over the man besides he has to be responsible not only to himself and his family, but he has to be responsible to God. But the woman is also, I think, is more vulnerable in her emotional level. That is, she gets upset easier. She cannot handle difficulties as easily as the man supposedly can. Not only does she need relief from an authority, that is, being responsible, but she needs relief from having to face many of the dangers and threats and problems of daily life. What I'm saying is she needs some kind of protection. For instance, if an irate neighbor comes banging on the door, and so happens that your boy has been out pestering his chickens, you know what the woman can do? She can say, well, I'll speak to my husband about it. I mean, she can drop all the worry and all the problem and dump it in his lap. Why? Because he's the leader. That's his job, not her job. And what a privilege it is a woman has in a role of submission that she can take the problem to the leader and say, well, now this is your problem. She is freed of many of the burdens that I don't believe really mentally she is able to cope with. She is freed from many of the complaints that she would have to deal with because she can take them to the husband. In the same role, the husband as the leader is supposed to protect her. In a sense, she's the queen on the throne. He is to protect her from emotional attacks that her children make upon her. At the slightest hint of abuse or disrespect shown her by the child, it's the husband that is to take step in and put a stop to it. One time a boy was heard arguing with his mother. And finally, in disgust, the boy just said, "You're a dummy." And as he was leaving the room, the father met him at the door, who had overheard everything taking place. He picked him up by the shirt, neck of the shirt, and he said, "Son, who's a dummy?" And the boy said, I'm a dummy. Now, there's a point to this, you see. The husband is to protect the wife even from the children, from abuse and sarcasm and disrespect. If the child is unruly, I think the mother is right. I'm going to tell your father. I guarantee you that's the way it ought to be. The man's the leader. That's part of his responsibility. And if the man shirks it, shame on him. It's hard to respect a man that won't be a leader. If he wants to be called the head, then he must lead. You know, there's no way around it. He must be the leader if he's going to gain the admiration and respect of being the head of the family. You know, Proverbs, the last chapter, talks about the ideal wife. Then in verse 25 it says, "Strength and honor her clothing, and she shall rejoice." Much of her rejoicing, I think, comes in the position she's in. In the position she's in. The wife has someone to look after her problems, to take care of her, to take care of the bullies. And she is freed from having to worry about those kind of problems in everyday life. Now, a lot of men would like to trade places with the women. Now, the woman being freed from having to lead and being freed from having to deal with unpleasant problems is free to work on adjusting her husband. By this I mean, she is free to help mold and shape him into a leader. She is free to make him the king he was meant to be. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, said this, "Your husband, your business as a wife is not to make your husband good, but to make him happy. It's God's business to make him good. You take care of the possible and trust God for the impossible. You can't make him good, but you can make him a good leader. And that is your desire. That is your role. The better leader you make him, the more benefits he'll bring back to you and your family. You can perfect your husband, not morally, not spiritually, but you can perfect your husband's role of leadership. The more you encourage him and the more you admire him and the more you advise him, the better leader you're going to have. Therefore, the happier husband you're going to have, the happier husband you've got, the better marriage you've got." You see, God called and shaped and molded him to be a leader. Your place is to help him fulfill that role. If he fulfills that role, you get all of the benefits. A man really becomes frustrated if he knows he is to be a leader and then is a failure in that category. So the woman needs to help him succeed at that, or she really has a problem on her hands. That problem is not on her marriage, but a husband who is not fulfilling his God-given role. Until next Sunday now, we hope that God will not only be with you, but God will bless you in your marriage.